No, baby, that's for somebody else. We're just going to keep you right where you're at right now.
It doesn't matter what you
think. The Wrestling Realm presents Break It Down with Brian H.
But Cody's contribution to the wrestling business is... Who else? Who else other than Vince McMahon has contributed to the wrestling business? What Cody has contributed to the wrestling business?
I don't know. I don't see benefits yet. I heard they was going to get benefits. Right now, they just indie to me.
Oh, come on, man. But here's the thing, I
got to give it some time. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'll say this. Like, I was talking about this on my other podcast.
Go ahead, plug it. The
Cool Factor podcast. We were talking about my man BQ asked. He said, "Do you see any benefit to the Impact AEW relationship?" And I was saying, "Look, man, like the thing about Impact fans is Impact fans have been conditioned that Impact is getting the short end of the stick." And I'm like, "Yo, this isn't about AEW elevating Impact or trying to boost Impact. This is about AEW bringing wrestling." Back for wrestling fans.
Okay.
Think about how many people have been turned off by WWE? Think about how many people pay their network subscription and watch Raw every week and go, yo, why am I sitting through this 3 hours? And by the way that Raw has been bleeding viewers year after year after year, the numbers that they back that up. Like WWE is turning people away from wrestling. And what AEW is doing right now, like, you know, I'm sure everybody, you know, has seen it. You know, right now they got New Japan, Impact, AEW all working together. NWA, whatever's left of NWA is all working together. And, like, this, they're bringing wrestling together. This is wrestling for wrestling fans. This is, like, I've seen people do, like, the meme of, like, all the Avengers, you know, like getting together and, you know, the Avengers on one side and WWE is Thanos and you know what I mean? And it's like, but it's like on some ways it's kind of like that because WWE has existed on this universe all to itself. And like we were talking about earlier, this idea that only what happens here matters. And what AEW is doing right now is saying, yeah, no, there's all this other great wrestling with great wrestlers and great wrestling fans, and you can all come get down right here. And that's a great thing for the wrestling business because, listen, if you look at what WWE is doing, they're finding more and more ways to monetize their product, and they're putting less and less effort into actually entertaining the fans. Let the church say amen. They're finding more and more ways to monetize their product. 3 hour Raws, selling the network to Peacock, the Saudi Arabian India shows. How good is any of that really for us, the fan?
But it's always about the money. You know and that. You,
listen, look.
And you know, too, we, they always do the entertainment business.
That's awesome. I'm not knocking that. I'm not saying
I know what you mean. Okay.
But I'm saying that for fans, what are we getting out of this? You know what I mean? What are we, the fans, getting out of this? Like, the fan company relationship is very simple. You entertain me, and I cheer for you. I support you, right?
But guess what? Who's the target audience?
Corporate investors.
Kids.
That's the target audience from what
kids. I know. You know?
Bro, if you look up the average demographic numbers of who watches WWE programming, that's not really true, bro. That's not really true.
But I'm saying that's who their target audience is now.
The kids who watch WWE are kids of people like you and me who are wrestling fans, and we have kids, and we want to watch wrestling with the kids in the room.
No, but you go to the, you know how it is when you go to the shows.
Yeah.
You bring one kid. I mean, you bring one kid, a parent got to come with them.
Yeah. You
know? So now, you know, it's interesting to see what happens because, you know, word on the street, USA wants more adult programming. So it's interesting to see how this turns around after the pandemic. But, you know, it's always going to be sports entertainment. It's always been that way, you know, but I will say this.
Entertainment is great.
But I will agree with you as far as, you know, what AEW is doing. But only thing I'm saying is, before I could put Cody's accomplishments on another level, I got to see the longevity. Because if that's the case, we got to give Jeff Jarrett credit for, you know, TNA. You know, even though I guess they sold it or whatever. But right now, Cody's on Jeff Jarrett's level. Let's see if he maintains and sustains, and let's see how this goes. And shout out to Impact for lasting so long. They've been around longer than WWE. Yeah,
I give them credit, but I don't think the Impact ever got to this level of credibility. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest difference between like AEW and Impact is like fair or not. And this is from somebody who, you know, I started watching Impact in like 07, 08, something like that. And I've just been sticking with it ever since. But like, but the thing about Impact is, to the masses, Impact never had its own identity. I think for a lot of people, when Impact first started, it was like, okay, I can still watch this because WCW's out of business. And then for a lot of people, it became like, hey, this is the place for WWE castoffs. Then, you know what I mean? Like, AEW, they stepped in the door with that ROH, New Japan hybrid fan base, that ROH, New Japan indie fan base. That was their base right away, right? Mm-hmm. So they already came in with an audience that is not dependent on WWE. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of people in the AEW audience who could not watch WWE at all. And, you know, most wrestling fans do watch WWE, right? But AEW actually has its own audience in a way that I don't think TNA or Impact ever did. And so, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. I think the AEW has a level of credibility right now in the marketplace that TNA never did. And I think
I'm listening. I see what you're saying. It makes sense. It makes me wonder if, and I can't remember, maybe you know this, has TNA ever have they ever sold out arenas? The size of the arenas, AEW, like, you know, AEW went to Philly. They went, okay.
I think their highest drawing show was, I want to say they did 8,000. It was, matter of fact, what I call the peak of TNA, the apex of TNA, was Bound for Glory 2013. It was AJ Styles versus Bully Ray for the World Championship. Mm-hmm. Great, you know, and that was like, it was all downhill after that.
But so better than the year before, around the time we had Rude and Austin Aries.
No, listen, well, I mean, better in quality or better?
Yeah, better, like as far as the whole show.
No, I mean, yo, I would tell anybody, the Spike TV years, especially from if you could find a way to watch TNA from 2011 through 2013, that's mm-hmm. good. Yeah, that's good wrestling, man. That is good wrestling. And listen, they went through some identity crisis stuff, but like the talent that you'll see, the matches that you'll see,
even the stuff with Kurt Angle and Sting.
Huh?
During the days of Kurt Angle and Sting and Christian Cage.
Yeah.
And
Austin Aries had his run where he was coming up. But yo, man, TNA had some moments. They had some moments.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, look, at the end of the day, I'm one of the people, you know, I'm a WWE guy. Family ties, you know, I grew up in the WWE household. Mm-hmm. But as a wrestling fan, I always want to see wrestling succeed. You know,
yeah.
I want to see AEW succeed. Why? Because that's more jobs. That's more opportunity. Right. That's more, we get to see more talent. At the end of the day, we like the storylines that take place and the action that goes on in the ring. So that's what I do want to see, you know. It's sometimes with AEW, I try to get into AEW dark, but I'm like, man, it's too many matches. Now, Shout out to Jamal from the Big Gold Belt podcast. He said it a way I ain't never look at it. He said, look, AEW dark is like watching the minor leagues. You go to the minor league games to see who's up next. Look at the talent. You know, you get it's cheaper. You get a hot dog and whatnot. Yeah. And you go for the experience. And I was like, huh. So yeah, you can watch AEW dark, put it on TV, say, okay, this guy's cool, this, and the other. So
yeah, I've yet to watch AEW dark. I mean, listen, if you watch Dynamite, you can see they got a lot of people who aren't really ready to be on TV, and so I'm glad that they you know, they're finding a way to get these guys matches, get them reps. The only way you get better at wrestling on TV is by wrestling on TV. You know what I mean? I mean, like, honestly, I think a great thing they can do is, and I've always wondered why WWE doesn't do this. It's like, if you, why not send guys out to work other places? Like AEW is sending Private Party to do a little program at Impact. And I'm like, yo, this is smart. This is great. Like, I like the idea of Private Party, but I hate their matches.
Really? With two spot fests?
Oh my god, I can't stand it.
I remember watching them
fight, somebody gonna stand there and wait for you to catch him in a hurricane rana. Like, I can't.
How you feel about the Young Bucks?
Huh?
How you feel about the Young Bucks? Same thing.
Now, in fairness, I was early on the Young Bucks, in the sense that I saw them in TNA.
Generation Me.
I wasn't just, because the Young Bucks and the Motor City Machine Guns were the, you know, the adapters of that fast paced, you know, high rep style, which, by the way, I think works much better for tag team wrestling than it does for singles wrestling. You know what I mean? That just that high pace, no selling, you know what I mean, like crazy style. It works a lot better for tag team and trios matches. Mm-hmm. But you had the Young Bucks and you had the Machine Guns, and I like the Machine Guns better. So the Young Bucks, I mean, they were Generation Me. Like, that was, I was like, okay, whatever, you know, take it or leave it. But here's my thing about the Young Bucks. The thing about that I didn't like about the Young Bucks is not even really the Young Bucks themselves. It's the people that act like the Young Bucks are so great. Like, that would just blow my mind. That's what got me annoyed about it. Because, you know, that's how it is with sports. It's like, you don't necessarily hate the team so much as you hate the fans of the team who are, like, obnoxious and, like, cheering this team. Like, the thing about the Young Bucks that was annoying me was I hated how they were, you know, doing the too sweet. And they were basically, for a while there, their whole gimmick was doing other people's gimmicks.
And living out their childhood.
I was like, they're playing wrestling. And to me, that's annoying. Like, as a wrestling fan, like, I want to see wrestlers have their own character and come out there, you know, make me believe in your character. Like, I don't want to see you cosplaying as other wrestlers. Like, to me, that killed me on the Young Bucks. There was a time when that's all they were doing. And people were like, oh, they're meta. And I was like, you just like saying that word. Like, this is like, they're just doing the New Age Outlaws and the, you know, the Wolf Pack and all that. I was like, yo, man, come up with your own thing. So that was what made me not like the Young Bucks. And then, you know, the fact they do Spot Fest wrestling, just that was just the icing on the cake.
The funniest thing I heard in the past 3 months of listening to podcasts, shout out to the Black Wrestling Podcast, and they had the Black Announce Table. And I believe Stat Guy Greg from Cheap Heat said that the Young Bucks, it might have been him or somebody from the Black Wrestling Announce Table, said that they're like waiting for the laughing track. And I was like, yo, he said they, and if I'm not mistaken, I don't want to mess up the brother's words, but he was saying it was like they're waiting for the laughing track. It's as if with all their matches, they're sitting there waiting for the crowd.
Right.
And they're waiting for that crowd reaction. So it's just like, you know, you're trying to tell a joke without the laughing track and it don't hit.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there, I was like, yo, now I was one who was annoyed with them back in the 2012s, and let Dwayne tell it. I was one who, you know, I got caught up in the whole issue with Booker T and, you know, them being disrespectful at that time. It was a big story back in the day.
What did you, Booker T?
It was like when they was in TNA, apparently they didn't shake his hand, and that became like a big deal. And, you know, they was backstage. You know, they was always on Twitter trolling. I got into a trolling. That was a long time ago. But when they would come out at ROH, and they was heels, and they were so good at it, and they would annoy me, and I would be booing them, but they were so good. Mm. But, you know, I mean, I'm glad they got the AEW tag titles. I always felt that. At first, I thought, my issue with AEW in the beginning, and maybe you agree, maybe you won't, I felt that they were so arrogant to believe they had to put a lot of talent over. And I felt that Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks should have been champions. Here I am telling people about this guy, Kenny Omega, who people who, like you were saying, who may have been turned off from WWE. You say, well, look, check out this wrestling. And then he's always losing. But I understand now. It's the slow build. It makes sense. You know, but with the Young Bucks, I was like, man, they should be tag champs. Like, I still to this day will stand by my point and say, it is not my business to know that the Young Bucks or Kenny Omega or Cody are executive vice presidents. I don't need to know that as a wrestling fan.
Right.
You know, leave that behind the scenes. Now, Tony Khan, that's a different story. He annoys me. And Mark, you know, he is like, he's a great value version of Shane McMahon. You know, Shane. Great value version of Shane McMahon, you know, and you know, he's going on Impact and doing all this stuff. I'm like, I thought you wasn't gonna be on TV, dude. You know, so that's just my thoughts, man.
I heard that criticism about, you know, why are they having their stars put other people over first. And I think it's tough to argue with the results, honestly. Like, just think about it like this, right? Like, mm-hmm. The first year is like the honeymoon period. Right. And so then you get into that second year and you spent that whole time for AEW. And now look at what you ended up with. You ended up with the Bucks with a feud with the Revival. And that was something a lot of people were wanting and waiting for. And they feature tag team wrestling prominently in AEW. You know what I mean? I think it's, you know, I think that's been well done. Now, it's tough because, like, in general, I look at the Young Bucks and I'm like, yo, like, they don't look like athletes. You know what I'm saying? So I feel similar, like, with the Young Bucks, like how I feel like Adam Cole and like Alexa Bliss. Like, when I see them beat people up, it's weird to me. You know what I mean? But it also, like, again,
no, everybody can't be a star football player like you, TW.
It's not about you gotta be big and you gotta be muscles, you gotta be jacked. Because look at like Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. They're not big guys, but they look like butt kickers.
They look like they can shoot.
Daniel Bryan, he's not a big guy, but he looks like somebody that'll punch you in the face if you get him in the wrong way.
He's not a big guy, you know? He's not a small guy, he's the guy.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, even like Austin Aries, right? Austin Aries, not a big guy, but he's a surly little man. You know what I mean? Like, he looks like somebody that you know. Matter of fact, I bet if Austin Aries ever heard me just say surly little man, he would probably write it down and try to find me. He would do a Google search for my face, you know what I mean? try to bump into me somewhere and be like, oh, hey. You know, like, but
that's my issue with Jungle Boy and Marco Stunt.
Right. Yes.
I don't want to see them.
So you get it.
I do. I don't want to see them on my television.
So again, and listen, I'm a believer that similar with, like you talk about with the whole entertainment value of like wrestling, there's a place for everything, right? I didn't say the Young Bucks don't belong on TV. I'm not saying that at all. But it's just funny, man. Like, it's like when I'm like, oh yeah, the Young Bucks beat those guys, man. Okay, but then it's like, okay, how'd they beat these guys? Well, one guy held one guy in a tombstone, another guy did a flip and pile drive. And I'm like, all right, it's wrestling. What do you want from me? You know what I'm saying?
Like, well, see, it's moves like that though, right? The tombstone, the powerbomb, the chokeslam. That's been so discredited. Like, I'm 5'9", 5'10". I should not be doing a chokeslam unless it's or my kids on their bed, you know, because it doesn't, like, you're not going nowhere. The whole point of the powerbomb, watching Diesel and watching Kane and Undertaker do choke slams, was because you were getting height,
right?
And then you were coming down. It was a slam.
Yeah, right. You're just falling backwards.
Yeah, so like the Young Bucks, like even the tombstone, you up. Right. Boom! You gotta be powerful to drop somebody's head. Yeah. So maybe I'm just putting too much into it. You know, like even with Big Show, when he used to do the final cut, it made sense because it's a big man dropping an elbow on you.
Right.
You
know? Yeah, right, exactly. It's always worse. You know what I mean? You'd rather fight somebody who's not gonna crush you. So
exactly.
You had to choose.
But man, before we get out of here, let the people know where they can find you.
Oh man, You can find me on Twitter at TW Talking About. See, you dropped my joint right there. You can find me on Twitter at TW Talking About. I'm always down to chat about anything wrestling related. I'm here for this. I do a podcast with my man BQ from the Impact Lounge called The Cool Factor. We talk about Impact Wrestling for the maybe one of you out there who might also enjoy Impact Wrestling. It's not as bad as you think it is. Trust me. I do that. Also, you can catch me on the Open Gym Sports and Culture podcast. There'll be some links to that you can find on my Twitter. And other than that, man, I'm always here for the wrestling realm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When whenever they open the doors to these hollow halls of the wrestling realm, I'm waiting outside like Bobby Heenan on the first episode of Monday Night Raw. Let me in. Let me in.
Yeah, bro. I appreciate you coming on, man. It's been a pleasure, getting you for a couple episodes. Yes, that's sir. Always a pleasure, man. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Till the next time, I'm Brian H. Waters. Y'all know what to do. Subscribe, turn on the bell notification, and we out.